I'm just going to touch, then we'll go straight from here. We'll deal with the behavior part for children, okay, how to manage behavior, okay, and I think it's useful also for parents and also for the younger people, because if you were to serve in the children's ministry, you probably have to understand a little bit about how to manage children's behaviors and why they behave in the way they do, okay? Then after that, I'll touch on teenagers. Just a little part, I just want to introduce teenagers today. Next week, we'll talk about how to deal with them. Okay, but it's interesting, alright, the teenager one. But I just want to, before I even start, just to, if you have been, I just got a, I was looking at something today, and I how many of you read, I think news, is it a new paper, or I can't remember what paper now, the NUS actually had some problems with Christians. And that Christians had to apologize once again. Okay, and Campus Crusade for Christ got into trouble with NUS for their portrayal of certain things. Of course, they were told to take it down. And there was another person who wrote very, very strongly against so-called Christians. This is part and parcel of the last days. It is going to... I was just thinking, Lord, how am I going to respond if someone responds to my message in a way? Of course, I'm very careful about what I say. And even if I have to say certain things, it will be, in contextually, you'll find that it is never to offend. But the message that was written there was also pretty clear. But for them, they were offended by what was said. So we need to be praying for God's power, because when you preach the Bible, people will be offended, okay, regardless of what you said, okay, even though you may say this is not my intention, people will be offended, so do watch for that, okay, alright, okay, let me put it, thank you, let me just see, let's go, okay, I just want to start here, okay, Okay, let's begin here. The Bible says read together, alright? Proverbs 22, verse 6, let's read together. Alright, as we start, ready? 1, 2, begin. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay, so 22, verse 6. So used to it already. Okay, now, what does this verse mean? Last week I talked about it. What does this verse mean? Last week those who were here, right, Joshua, you were here, right? What does this verse mean? Okay. Alright. This verse, remember the context I was telling you? This verse actually says, this many Christian parents actually say, Brother Johnny or whoever, this verse says that if I train the child up, the child will definitely be a Christian when he grows up. Right? This verse doesn't say that. This verse says, the way you will bring up a child when she is young, it will be the way he will grow up. Example, if a child, there are children, if a child grows up playing mahjong and drinking beer, for example, he will grow up next time playing mahjong and drinking beer. And at an early age, he'll probably enjoy beer. Okay? And beer is alcohol and it is sin. Alright, for us to partake of it, but not for a child that was brought up in that context, or for a young child who grows up knowing that the dad smokes, for example, when he grows up, smoking is inevitable for these people because he's been brought that way. You know, it's interesting, for families, I just want to be sensitive here, but for families whose parents are divorced, there's a high chance their children will do so the same. It is statistically relevant, correlated. The research have actually shown that children in this kind of families actually have a stronger tendency to go down that way as well. Alright? And so the influence is really great because the child actually sees what's happening. Okay? So and by the way, training doesn't necessarily need us to actually teach the child. Why? Because the child actually sees what we do and learns from what we do more than what we say. Does it make sense? The child actually learns more from what we do than what we say. Okay? So we need to be very careful. Now, in child training, this was something which, at a very young age, I drummed into myself as I read. Okay? Training is a possibility long before teaching is. Before a child is old enough to know what is said to it, it is capable of feeling and of conforming to or of resisting the pressures of efforts for its training. A child can be trained to go to sleep in the arms of its mother or a nurse, or in a cradle or a bed with rocking or without it. Okay? Basically, a child can be trained to do anything at a young age. And as parents, we need to understand that. Okay? Although the child actually has the interplay of their character and emotions, the child at a very young age can actually be trained. Okay? I know of one young boy who is only 2+. Okay? 2+. When daddy says, come here, he goes the opposite direction. And daddy does nothing about it. Okay? So when he's 2.5 years old, daddy say come, he will continue to go in the opposite direction. Because as far as he's concerned, he's learned, when daddy say come, I can go. You know what I mean? Okay? But he said come, and he doesn't come, and daddy goes over and reaches over with his long arms, come! And put, you want to come? Okay, come. Just come, don't worry. Okay. When papa say come, you go, okay? You're not supposed to do it at home, but you can do it here. Okay? Okay, come. And then just walk away, turn around, walk away. And so, slowly, I don't want to catch you. No, here, walk here. Okay, okay. So, come. Okay. So, she's going away, and daddy with his long arms goes and holds her hand. You know why? Because I'm bigger than her, right? Okay? Parents, please understand, God give you a bigger advantage. So, you actually had to go and tell her, what did papa say? Come, yeah, okay, so yes, come, okay, yeah. And so from young, a child, when they are trained to do that, you know how many times, maybe next time you see in a marketplace, and sometimes even in church, when parents ask their children to do something, just look what they do when the child don't actually listen, okay? And I have done this before, not all the time, when children When I'm kind of just there walking by, and my mom says certain things, and the child doesn't want to listen, it kind of throws a tantrum. Then I just walk past and say, children, obey your parents in the world. And then she'll stop. Okay? And sometimes that helps. But you know, when a parent gives an instruction, the child doesn't follow, the child has learned to disobey. No matter how small the instruction is. Okay? And when it's accumulative, over time the child learns, I can get away with anything. Alright? Okay? Okay, the next one, so I quickly talk about this. You need to train your child in the habits of life. Getting up early, okay? Getting up early, doing what he needs to do. Like for our children, they have to get up, wash their teeth, wash their face, make the bed. Basically, the basic habits in life. Alright? Parents? Maybe I shouldn't have parents. Okay. How many of you know of people with teenagers or bigger children that don't practice the normal habits of life? Example, brush teeth. For some of us who have been trained, alright, brushing teeth is a normal habit, but you know what? Some adults don't brush their teeth. I'm not encouraging you to do that. When I was in Australia, there was one guy who doesn't wear anything when he goes to school. And he's in uni, university. You know what his reason is? It's too troublesome. It's ridiculous, right? Yeah, it wasn't my psychology. It was ridiculous, okay? You need to train the child in the basic habits of life. For your information, children don't like that kind of training. You know why? They gotta get up early. You gotta put stuff inside their mouth, you know, toothpaste and all that. And you gotta brush it the correct way. Okay? And for information, when you provide the equipment for that training, please ensure that it is child size. Okay? Don't give the adult Colgate. And then after that, the children press out a lot, you spank the child. The child cannot handle it. Does it make sense? Alright? Because their hand is only that small. That's why they have the smaller tube for the children. Alright? So that has to be relevant as well. Okay? And don't expect the child to be able to squeeze just nice onto the toothbrush. Right? Because they cannot control their strength, so they press, then it's all over the floor. How many of you...
Why are you laughing? You're laughing.
How many of you have found a lot of powder in your toilet before? When your children put powder? It's like when they put powder, it's like they just had a shower. Because they thought they can just kind of use it without any control. Okay? So we need to... like one of my friends actually said that when you tell a child to do something, you must give 50% discount or 80% discount when you give a child to do. But you know what? The child has to be trained to do that. Okay? Let's go. Then, one of the most important habits is to train the child to read the Bible from young. From young. Okay? The child must have the habit of reading the Bible from young. Okay? Some of the plans here, I've actually given you notes for last week already. So, any questions there? Just stop me, alright? Train the child in righteousness. Okay? That simply means that, remember, children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to obey your parents. Okay, in everything, can I say this? One of the most lax things today in Christian parents is that they will allow their children to do anything without putting in the Bible and say, no, that's too far. No, you shouldn't be doing that. No, you shouldn't be reading that. Okay, I know there's a lot of no-no-no's. But one of the things I want us to encourage us is train them in what is right. Okay, it's right to read your Bible. It's right to say thank you when someone gives you something. It's right to go to church. It's right to ensure that it's right to go tracting. It's the right thing to do. And so when tell the child what is the right thing to do, train the child in righteousness from young. Because I can tell you, many children don't have righteousness in their hearts because they are by nature sinners. Okay? And so teach righteousness as a principle. In other words, we do right because it is right. Okay, oftentimes, my children may ask me why you do that. I say, we do it because we're Christians, or do it because it's the right thing to do. It's interesting, because the Bible... Do you realize that there's no reason not to do right? No matter how legitimate it is. There's actually no reason to do... Sorry, there's no reason need to be given to do right. You do right because it's right. Does that make sense? Because I can tell you that for one reason to do right, there's 10 reasons why you wouldn't want to do it. Too tired, too expensive, too much, etc. One good example is the copyright rules. Okay, I'm just using it as an example. Copyright rules. Okay, it's cheaper to just copy, right? It's cheaper to just kind of duplicate. For example, a DVD maybe $20. For example, it's easier to kind of slip it into your DVD and burn one. It's cheaper, right? Okay. In America, what they do right now, if you see some of the DVDs, they actually put a big advertisement in front that the FBI will come and you take other people's property, is stealing and things like that. All right. I had a friend who has a book, and what he does is he's chopped in every book. You know what he chopped? Stolen from the library of so and so. So if you borrow a book for too long, it's stolen. So he put it. He literally, I saw the chart before. He said stolen from the library of so and so. Alright, but you know you do right because it's right. Okay, apply righteousness continuously as a principle. Simply means that when you do certain things and your child wants to do it, and then you actually tell the child, say, no, don't do that because that's a wrong thing to do, a right thing to do. Okay, many times I will actually ask my children, you know why Papa don't smoke? You know why Papa don't drink? Then I explain. Just kind of throw it in to apply that. All right, teach righteousness by example. Okay, we do right because it's right. Okay, and teach righteousness early. Any questions? In other words, parents, or not just parents, Sunday school teachers, anyone involved in the training of children, even chapel teachers, what's the right thing to do in chapel? What's the right thing to do for the child to do in chapel? As an example, what's the right thing to do in chapel? When the child goes to chapel, what's the right thing the child needs to learn? Anyone? Have you thought of that before? When the child goes to chapel, what's he doing? He's going to learn God's word, right? Right? Okay, so what should the child do in chapel? Sorry? Yeah. Sit down, pay attention. Okay? If the child doesn't do that, what do teachers do? Oh, sit down, come children. Sit down, come. Don't be like that. Come. You can try for one time. And the child hears that. He smiles at you and continue. Okay? But you know, in the children's training, I'm thinking of training and retraining again, because when the child comes, one of the biggest things for children's ministry and chapel, the children must learn when church time, it's time to learn God's word. And the way to teach the children, the teachers and whoever that's involved in the teaching must bring that across to the children. In other words, when it's time to sit down and listen to God's word, it's time to sit down and listen to God, nothing else. So that the child will learn, when I come to church and my teachers love me and they want me to learn God's word. Okay, that's something very important, okay? For example, when teacher is talking, we don't talk. Doesn't happen nowadays. This thing about freedom of speech and all that kind of thing, and then we're free to do what... You know what? That's why preaching is getting less and less palatable. Means people cannot stand sitting down and listen to someone anymore. You know why? We have been trained outside to whatever we don't agree, we talk back. Or we are trained to discuss. That's why our whole university's training in Singapore and across the world is based on Greek philosophy. You know what's Greek philosophy? Discussion. Whereas Hebrew wisdom is listening to what God says and obeying it. Okay? So that's a difference. Any questions? By the way, you can ask questions, alright? You can ask, alright? It's a teaching session, whereas preaching is slightly different. Okay, let's move on. Train a child in discipline, okay? Discipline simply means to do what we know is right, okay? Hudson Taylor said this, an undisciplined person will never amount to anything in God's work. Oh, that God will make Ambassador Baptist Church people disciplined. Discipline in our lives, discipline in our habits, discipline in our emotions, discipline in our Bible reading, discipline in our prayer, and discipline in our service for God, okay? So, teach self-discipline, okay, and all that kind of thing. We talked about it last week already, okay? Any questions? Okay, I'll just keep going. Alright, how to train. Last week we talked a little bit about this. Number one, as you train the child in certain things, you need to actually engage the child's attention. This one has to do with when you are one-to-one with the child. Many times, adults cannot stand teaching children. It's because, you know why? How many adults have difficulties teaching children? You have? Anyone else? What's difficult for you? Huh? Retaining their attention for... Okay? Alright? So... In attention span, one year is 5 minutes, 2 years is 10 minutes. So if your child is more than 5 years, he should actually be able to stay for 25 minutes. Okay? So which means that most of the children, except maybe Micah. Micah is about 4 already, right? 4. Then she should be able to sit down there, engage 20 minutes. Okay? That's just basic attention. Right? Some of us as adults have problem with 5 minutes. Right? Because you know why? There's a difference between attention and concentration. What's the difference? Attention means you can sit down there, but concentration is when you really absorb the stuff. Okay? So, that's why when we teach children, it's not about obeying only. Come sit down and listen. Sit down and listen, understand or not? Alright? But you keep doing that to the child, after a while the child will say, okay, you want to listen. How many of you, when you sit down at church service sometimes, or maybe you actually tune out. Tune out, it means tune out. You switch to a different frequency. Don't be shy. Okay, yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, some. Why do you tune out? Maybe do a bit of self-reflection. Why do you tune out? We know that the Word of God is important, right? Not just here, don't just talk about here, but generally. Why do we tune out? Is it tiredness? Is it... We need to actually look at that. So, there are particular reasons why you tune out. I can tell you as pastor, I use strategies, okay, to try to maintain people's attention. Okay, so I won't tell you that. I think you all know some of that, but I won't. But I know that sometimes I can use strategies, but you know what? I can just maintain their attention. But if the heart is already not there for God's word, it doesn't get through anyway. So that's why prayer is very important. Last time, Last time when I was a teen, the messages go for 2.5 hours. You all consider yourself fortunate. Okay? Morning teens, we start at 8:30, we finish at 11:30. Yeah, after lunch, they have another session, 2 to 4. Shorter, after that, got games. After at night, after dinner, it's 7:30 all the way to 10:30. Only 1 hour singing, then after that, next 2 hours, 2.5 hours, it's just Bible teaching. That was where we were trained from. Of course, last time, we don't have the problem of this. This one wasn't in existence at the time. So people were able to just listen, okay? So, but when we actually engage a child, let's say a child comes, number one, as parents, you need to be praying, and then you need to be prepared. When a child senses you are not prepared, you know what a child thinks? Why in the world should I pay attention to you when you're not prepared to teach me anything? Okay? A child actually knows if you're not interested in him, you're just kind of doing your duty. And it's very important. Okay? Because the child catches your attitude very quickly. Alright? So after that, when your attitude is right, you will find that all these things come to really, like you speak at the level of the child. For example, for Michael, I'm not going to say, Michael, because of your sin, the propitiation of the Lord Jesus Christ is so important for you. It's like... and sometimes children tune out because, can I give this for chapel teachers in Sunday school? It doesn't understand, right? Whatever lessons they've given you, you actually have to grade it down. In other words, you have to think through before you even do anything with your text. You have to ask, if I say this, will the children understand? If the children don't understand, I have not taught. I say that again. If a text is given to us, but when we pass to the children, and the children tune out and they don't understand at the end of the session, in other words, the teacher hasn't taught. Okay? But if the teacher does all he can to bring it down, activities and all, and the children still don't learn, then the fault lies with the children. Does that make sense? And I think many times the children that come to our church, and the younger ones, and even in your own families, many times they leave getting nothing. It's because as teachers, we need to actually be prepared to bring the lesson down to the child. Every Sunday school lesson, every chapel lesson is only one lesson, one main point, discussed in different ways. Does that make sense? One main point, because that's all the child can handle. Any questions? One main point. All right. So speak at the level of the child. In other words, your communication must be don't use big words. Use small words. Okay. Give a task that you know the child can do. All right. Ask if the child understands what is required. Okay. The child at a young age, language is very important. The whole area of communication. If the child is Filipino and he only speaks Filipino, don't try to speak in English. Get a Filipino colleague, a church member in to help and all that kind of thing. All right. Okay, encourage the child to do it, monitor, facilitate when necessary, give praise when the child is doing it. This is important. Can I just highlight this for even for parents, when the child is trying, praise the child, encourage the child. Because the goal of learning is actually, the child needs to know how to learn, not just get the result. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? Any questions? Okay, then explain to me. Let's see. Linda, explain to me what's this. What does this mean? Give praise when the child is doing it. What does it mean? Okay. In other words, in the process, if someone is trying their best, even if they don't achieve, praise the child. You know why? When the child has tried her best, and they don't achieve the result, and we actually scold the child, what will happen to the child? What will happen to you? How many of you have used this reason before? I've tried so hard, you know not. I know, I tried so hard, you know. Right? Do you realize that's what the Lord Jesus actually does with us? The Bible says exalting one another. The word exalting means, in Hebrews 3, it means to walk alongside. As the person is going through, I'm with you. With you. Not just at the end waiting for you. I'm with you as you're going through it. Okay? And how much we need to use the power of encouragement that God has given to us. Okay? And so for parents, encourage when the child is trying, even though at the end of it, is not exactly what you're looking for. At least praise the child. Well done for trying. well done for trying, okay? The child actually achieved, then give her 2 cashew nuts or something, you know, just to encourage the child. Alright? Encourage when the child is struggling. How many of you have struggled in your life before? No one. Oh,
my mom pulled out her hair.
She struggled her whole life just to bring out 2 monkeys, me and my
brother.
But you know what? We've struggled, right? How many of you appreciate people who come in when you are struggling to help? What do you think a child feels when you're actually struggling? You know why? You know why Jesus says, I'm with you always? Because the Lord knows that we will struggle. At a time of our struggling, Jesus says, I'm with you. In the time that you are struggling the hardest, Jesus says what? I'm with you. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were in the fire, and guess who was there? Jesus was right in the middle together with them, Daniel chapter 3. Okay? This is important. This is not just for child training, it's for any Christian. You know, when we see someone struggling, don't just condemn the person for not trying hard enough. Maybe you can just get behind and kind of push him a little bit, hold his hand or something like that. Alright? Important. If the child really cannot do it, then simplify it. Okay, the child cannot do 10 sums because of whatever, bring out the 3 and slowly. Or child really cannot do that sum, maybe you can grade it down a bit, make it easier for the child. Okay, just simplify it. Alright, any questions? Okay, some things to note. This one I just go through. Any questions? You need to invest time, you need to invest heart when you train your child. You need to think training, not task performance. Okay, this is what I talk about. Okay, you need to know what is your end goal, what do you want to achieve. And at the end, you need to love your child. Okay? Can I say this? When you train your child don't achieve, right? You still love the child. The child needs to know at the end of the session, you still love him or her. The child needs to know. If the child thinks that he is hated because he didn't perform, if the child thinks that he is unable, he will never be loved again. You know, for a little child, I'll give you this tip. For us as adults, when we don't achieve something, what do as adults? Okay, what else? How many of you actually sometimes blame others? See, no lah, government never give me enough money, that kind of thing. Oh, no lah, not enough light lah, no lah, we kind of point fingers everywhere, right? Do you know a child have no capability to do that? So you know what they do? What do they do? They blame themselves. They actually blame themselves. And they may come to someone and say, Papa don't love me anymore. Because they don't have the experience of blaming. they are unable to handle it. And so, you know why children always cry and they say they don't know why? How many of you have had it before? Children cry and they don't know why. You know why? Number one, they don't have the experience, nor do they have the language to express themselves. You know what's the language they express? Tears. And when the child expresses that in tears as they are struggling, you know what they are asking for? Please, I really need help. There are 2 types of crying, children, lest you go home and try that with your parents. Okay? The first type of crying is, cannot do. That is the game type of crying. Okay? Understand? Okay, don't try that. Okay, mommy and daddy, very sharp one. The second type of crying is a distress crying whereby nothing can comfort the child except maybe the mommy or daddy. Have you seen that kind of crying for children? Especially for younger babies. They'll cry and cry. You give sweet everything, they push everything away until they go to mommy and daddy. That's distress crying. Okay? So then, mom, don't immediately go to the child when he's crying. If you give a sweet and the child stops, you know the child generally can control themselves. Okay, generally they can, alright? Okay? And you need to love your child. But you know what? If you teach your child 10 times, they really cannot get it. You need to still love your child by depending on God. Because genuine love for a child who is not performing can only come from God. Susanna Wesley was... You know, Susanna Wesley had many, many children. Okay? There was one particular child that she was trying to write, teaching to write. And Susanna Wesley was teaching again and again and again. Little Charles Wesley or John Wesley, I can't remember, came and said, why are you spending so much, wasting your time on this child, you know? So Susanna Wesley kept on trying the 19th time, the 20th time of trying to teach this child. The child actually learned. And Susanna Wesley looked at her husband and said, if I haven't spent much time, if I haven't tried to be patient with this child and keep trying until the 19th time, he would have never have succeeded the 20th time. Okay? The parents, we need to understand, if the children is trying and they're not succeeding, then we have to try to make it easy for them so they will learn. Because otherwise, you know what they will learn? They learn how to take shortcuts. You know how? Go and copy. Copy the answer. Or they don't try their best. Okay? Any questions? Let's move on. Okay. Alright, okay, now we go to the behavior. Any questions? Now, talking about behavior. Alright, this one is useful for chapel teachers, for Sunday school teachers, for parents, and all of the above. Alright. What if my child refuses to follow? Okay. How many of you had that before? Oh, all the parents? Okay. I'm sure it happens, alright, in every household, okay? What if my children really... Then we have to ask a question number one. Why do children not follow? Okay? Parents, okay, few things. Number one, parents are still in charge. Number two, God provided the rod. After I talk about it, okay? Before you reach for the rod, okay? Why I say the rod immediately, this is contrary to modern so-called psychology. Many parents don't use it today, not because they don't believe in it, because it has been abused, okay? Many children have been child abused. And in certain countries of the world, spanking has been outlawed. We can go to jail. Germany is one. Canada is another one. The social worker can come and the teachers, the nurse, the doctors have been trained. The moment they see line marks on the child, they inform the social welfare and they can actually come and arrest the parents or take the child away. Okay? When I was in the UN, I was in Australia, they were actually in the midst of signing a petition against this. When the UN wanted to pass a resolution to outlaw spanking, the churches and the Christians in America, Australia was signing a petition against that. Okay? Essentially what they are saying is that parents, you have no authority to do that, to train your child. Taking away God's authority from the parents. Having said that, many parents, unfortunately, out of fear of anger, will give it to the children. That's wrong too. Okay? Today we want to look at what does the Bible have to say, especially there's a history of the rod, the abuses. And in the 1950s especially, they come up with this Dr. Spock, who decided that to teach the parents that spanking your child will damage his esteem and confidence, and you shouldn't be using the rod, you need to talk properly to the child and all that. After we go through some Bible verses, okay, and how many of you have heard of Dr. Benjamin Spock? He's a pediatrician, okay, and at the time when everyone was using the rod, he was the one who said, no, you shouldn't be spanking your child because it will spoil your child and damage your child's self-esteem. This has been promoted since the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and taught many times, even by the doctors today. Okay? Now, let's go through it first. But before we reach for the rod, if the child doesn't... By the way, if the child doesn't learn, it's not a spanking offense. You do not spank your child for not learning. Okay? Because he's not being rebellious. He's not learning. He can't learn. So, which means that it's an academic learning problem. Does that make sense? We only spank for rebellious activities. For example, mommy say one, I say two. I deliberately don't want to move. When I ask you to go and practice your piano, you don't want. I ask you to go and do it, you don't want. Some children don't do anything, they just stand there. That's called passive rebellion. That's still rebellion, okay? And it is a spanking offense. Alright? Okay, so now, okay, does the child understand the requirement of the task? Now, the task that you're talking about it could be writing and all that kind of thing. I'll just bring it writing, alright? Does the child actually understand the task? Does the child have the ability to do the task? If the child cannot actually do it, then you need to help the child, alright? This is simple. So, all these things that have been given to you, availability and suitability of the equipment, does a child... Is the child given the proper equipment to do it, or the child is you've given a child adult size and the child cannot manage? Condition of the child during performance, is it sick? Is there a fear of failure? Like today, I was in a clinic and the doctor wanted the child to come. And the child was just, and starts crying and all that kind of thing. And in that situation, you cannot just call the child because the child is fearful. So you need to help the child calm down and all that kind of thing. All right? If all is clear, then there's an expectation for the child to perform. Okay? So which means that if you know, let's say you know that the child can do, is within his ability, the child is not sick, the child is not tired, and all the indication seems to suggest that he's actually okay. But just say, I don't want to learn. Okay? What do we do? We need to correct this behavior. So how do we do it? The Bible says, I'll just go through a few verses. It's interesting, many people who say you shouldn't use the rod, take their evidence from perhaps parents who have abused their child. That means they cane excessively. Or they take it from the philosophy of someone else. But it's interesting, the Bible consistently mentions the rod. As I was studying it, I was trying to kind of think how to explain this. It's interesting, the Bible consistently mentions the rod. Okay? Alright, so let's go through a few verses. The Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The word foolish means the love of mischief, self-will, belonging to the children. Foolishness is actually tied up together with that person. Alright, that's what the Bible says. The rod, interestingly, some people believe a rod is actually, like, you know, the cane. Okay, it's a rod. And it has also the meaning of a staff. You know what's a staff? You know what a staff? What do staff do? What do staffs do? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What does a staff do? The shepherd has a staff. The staff is pretty big. Okay, the goal is actually to pull the child back. Alright? Of correction. The word correction has to do with all this. Warning, reproof, instruction, restraint, chastening. Okay? Checking, rebuke, instruction. All this is involved in the correction. So, within the child are the seeds of foolishness, which will lead in self-will, lead to self-will, waywardness, mischief. But the teen branch, when used for the purpose of correction and discipline, will remove the foolishness from him. Okay? So a child, when they grow up, child is bound to do wrong one. Because no parent here have ever taught your child to lie, have ever taught your child to be lazy. The child is naturally born inside. Okay? But God says, this rod of correction will bring it far from him. There was one time many years ago, I realized why God put this in. When a child is foolish to begin with, and no one stops him, he will grow up to become a... When a child continuously do foolishness in his life, and no one stops him, what does the child become next time? He becomes a fool. And the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Does it make sense? Okay? And so that's why we need to... Interestingly, when you study this verse, it does not say it will bring up the child in the Lord. It just says that it will drive the foolishness from him. Okay? So many parents will control the family. So every time Papa is around, everyone toe the line, they do the right thing. But then, when Daddy's not around, Mommy's not around, I do what I want. Okay? The next one, next verse. He that spareth his rod, the word spare means to withhold. The word withhold means actively. In other words, you make a decision not to spank. Many parents, many Christian parents, make decisions not to spank their child. Okay? God says, if you spare your rod, you hate your son. The word hate in the Hebrew word is become an enemy of your child. Okay? Now, as I say this, please don't. Processing, you spank your child, otherwise I hate what you cannot. I'm not asking you to have the aggressive nature, you know? But the Bible does say, I'm just explaining to you, if you spare your rod, it means if you choose not to spank your child when he does wrong, you have actually, in God's eyes, become an enemy of your child. And that's what he says, okay? But he that loveth him, chasteneth him betimes, okay? The word chasten means discipline, the word betimes means early. And it has an intentional voice in the Hebrew that simply means I deliberately, when the child is young, concentrate my efforts in disciplining the child. Okay? When I withhold the rod intentionally, it shows that I'm opposed to my child. How many of you are opposed to your children? No, right? But God says, by what you do, you show that you are in God's sight. When we stand before God, God is not going to use your intention to judge you. He's going to use His word to judge you and me. Alright? Okay, next one. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare, for his crying. The word chasten means discipline, means punish, reproof, instruct, reform, admonish. This chasten is actually a different word from this. It's a different word. Okay, the chasten means to discipline. The next chasten actually includes the idea of punishment, alright, reform and admonishment. Okay, while there is hope. Now, what does this phrase tell you? What is a hope? When there's hope, chasten the child. What does it mean? When you're still young. Okay, what else? There's a time that you actually run out of hope. Parents, this is absolutely scary for us. When we don't deal with our child when they're young, there comes a time, whatever you do. I've seen when parents try to spank, the child actually catches the cane and says, you want to try? Finish. That's the end of the story for you. You cannot actually do anything anymore. Alright? Where there's hope. Okay? Let not thy soul give in, become soft, because... Okay, the word crying there means literally put to death. Let not thy soul spare, oh, I'm going to die, don't leave me. You know, some parents will say, I think I spank him enough already. I only spank him 1.5 times, but he cried like that. Yeah, better don't. The Bible says, if you say 5 times, means 5 times. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. Okay? A lot of parents, maybe the person disciplining will continue, but the other person come, too much already lah. Enough lah. Okay? The Bible says, let not thy soul spare for his crying. Okay? The next one, withhold not correction from your child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, thou shalt, he will not die. Alright, this is directly against Dr. Benjamin Spock, who say, oh no, you damaged the child. God says he will not die. Alright, he will not die. The word will not die literally mean he actually will not die. That's why he won't die. Alright, he won't die. Okay, the Bible says, do not withhold correction. Okay, if you beatest him, the word beatest him literally, if you wound him. Okay, there's only one place you're supposed to wound your child. You know where? Here. You know why God put make it a bit softer here? And you know why God says wear pants and skirts and all that? You know why? So that after the discipline, the child's integrity is still kept. And the child won't be embarrassed. Okay? So if you beatest him, you will actually deliver his soul from hell. It has two layers of meaning. The word hell literally in the Hebrew word has the idea of the grave. And some children, because of ill discipline, die early. Maybe because of drugs, they get involved in accidents, because of their whatever. But you know what? The Bible says you deliver him from hell also has the idea that you can save him eternally. Alright? Do not refrain from correcting your child, because the wounds you place on him in the love of God and the discipline he needs will not kill, but on the contrary, will give rest to permanent change in the character of the child. That's God's promise. If you would discipline your child in the Lord, you actually help the child to have permanent change that will lead him to Christ. Okay? Any questions? Okay, one more, I think. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but the child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Okay, the spanking, the rod correctly given will impart wisdom. The Bible says the rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Two things. When you spank the child, don't just spank the child and walk away. What I usually do with my children, I ask them, do you know why I have to spank you? And then I have to explain. Okay, explain. And after that, do you know why? Okay, we're going to do it again. Then I usually get them to go back and maybe write something that's a reflection of what's happened, and then you have to give it to me. And then, so that we can go through it. And usually at the end, I'll still hug them and tell them, it's over, it's over. Okay? But the Bible says the rod and reproof will give wisdom. But if you leave the child left to himself. If not, the child will bring the mother to shame. The word shame means to be disappointed or ashamed, literally. Okay? Proverbs 29:9, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give thee light unto thy soul. Early discipline of the child will give us rest. Okay? You know what? Some children are very obedient when they are young. When they are old, they don't listen. You know where the problem lies? When they were young, they were not trained. And the parents were not around. Can I say this? And this is very painful. When our older children go wayward, parents, when our children, as they grow up, and they don't walk with God, for example, or they don't actually want anything to do with God anymore, somewhere along the line, we didn't train as we should, as parents. And I don't say that to put guilt trips, but I'm saying, let's take responsibility. Because God says there are options for us to take to help. Okay? And teenagers, if you feel that you're going down that track, don't bring your parents to shame who has worked hard to bring you up. Don't play into the game of the devil. That's what Satan wants, to destroy you, destroy your family. Okay? But parents, let's do what we can, okay? Right? Okay. Now, some practical basics for using the rod. I just give very broad principles. Number one, you need to establish ahead of time the principles for spanking for our family. I just give an example to my family. Talking back to parents is a spanking offense. You do not talk back to your parents. The moment you talk back to your parents, because the moment you talk back, you know what they will do next time when God tells them something to do? They will talk back too. Because we are authorities. Okay? Talking back to parents, whether it's the moment, even if I'm in the room, they're not talking to me, but they talk back to, let's say, the situation where the mom is being spoken back to as well. You know what? It's a spanking offense. Because it's rebellion. Okay? Especially in the tone, you say, whoa! I think you probably can get from that kind of tone that the person doesn't listen. Okay? What are the other principles for spanking? Okay, rebellion. Okay? Are using words that are not right? Okay? Negative, not just negative words, but you know, sometimes even vulgar words. Okay? There was one time Jeremiah, when he was 3 years old, was using a vulgar word. He didn't use it. But it was a contractor at the second floor, you know, and their language is XYZ and crab and spider and tic-tac-toe, you know. And he began to was singing a song using vocal words. And I was shouting, "Stop it!" And thank God after that, you cannot remember the words, right? Good. Okay? Because why? I nip it in the bud. Okay? I started, "Stop it!" And that was rebuke. Alright? Instant. And then after that, it was fine. Okay? And after that, we had peace ever after, happily ever after. Okay, but certain things are not to be done. Okay, a disobedience is a spanking offense. Okay, oftentimes I have mercy, but it comes to a time I've told you again and again and again and again and again not do it. Psh. By the way, for principle for obedience is that you tell the child one time, the child doesn't do spanking offense. So the child will learn. You know, for example, many times in the Old Testament when a person doesn't obey God, God deal with it so that all Israel will hear and fear. Okay. Alright, establish ahead of time the principle of spanking, especially establish the implements for spanking. For example, you may use a cane, make sure it's consistently the cane so that the child actually knows, okay? Establish a place for spanking, the place I have is actually go to the room. The moment I say go in, straight away they will cry already. Because they know it's the execution room, okay? A place that they fear, of course, when everything is fine they can come in, but there must be a place, not execution, don't worry. It's a place that they go to respect. And we don't use that unless we have like the kind of, the moment is, something happens, all I have to say, go in. And because they know there's a place for discipline, okay? Establish your policies for spanking. Sometimes it's very hard. We don't really have a policy except for the, I will actually set it after. Like, for example, what are you supposed to do? For example, one of the things, the policies is, they are supposed to go on, I'll just show you. I just say, put your hand down. Okay, I just said the policy is you're supposed to do this. Okay. And some of them will do this, they'll do this, they'll do this. And it's interesting, they're supposed to face me with it, they always go the opposite direction first. Then I say, you know what? And sometimes if they are very hesitant, I'll say, okay, 5, 6, 7. Increasing the amount of time. Because why? You want immediate obedience with that. Okay? These are the policies. Okay, different family will be different. Stay cool. I've lost my cool sometimes with my children, and I've had to go back and apologize to them. How many of us as parents sometimes spank our children because we lost our cool? That is sin against the child. And you can ask my children, I've apologized to them. I'm sorry. Of course, after get spanking, then Papa come here and say sorry. Easy for Papa, right? No, it's not. First times when I remember the earlier times when I start spanking them, I will cry. And I'll say, you know why I'm crying? Because I don't want to spank you. But I have to. But no, when I spank them wrongly, I lose my cool. I actually have to apologize and say, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes in their heart, probably easy for you to say, oh, Papa, you know how pain. You know? But I'm thankful that they've forgiven me, right? They've forgiven me. If not, we have to talk afterwards. Go prata or something. No. Right now, we need to stay cool. Let's turn to James chapter 1. This is a very important verse. James chapter 1, about staying cool. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and verse number 20. There's another verse. I'll use this one first. The Bible says, in verse 20, let's read together. James chapter 1, verse 20. 1, 2, go. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The word wrath means the anger of man. The anger of man does not work out the what? Righteousness of God. When we train our children, what's the purpose? To teach them in righteousness, right? God says if anger comes out and I lose my cool, it's not going to bring out righteousness in the child. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs 22. Okay, God says that in a different way, but this is even clearer. Proverbs 22. Verse 8. Okay, Proverbs 22, verse 8. Ready? Let's read together. Proverbs 22, verse 8. Ready? 1, 2, go. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. How many parents have lost their children because in anger they lost their child? The Bible says the rod of his anger shall fail. In other words, when I wield the rod, when I'm angry, God says, 100% you will fail. Because why? You are not disciplining it in God's love, you're disciplining it because you're frustrated. And man's ways will always bring destruction. And that's why children, I was just watching a YouTube video of how there were many, many children who say, please don't spank me, that kind of thing. And I think sometimes parents use that, not here, but no, generally parents use that to vent their frustration maybe of work and little bit think, why you never eat your rice properly? Or something like that. And the child actually grows up asking, what did I do? I just dropped one meatball on the floor. You know, that kind of thing. By the way, if a child drops a meatball on the floor, it's not a spanking offense. They just need to develop coordination. You understand what I'm saying? Alright, we need to be very, very clear on that, okay? You need to spank soon after the offense, okay? Some of the children, some of my children, even in the shepherd group one time, okay, a child disobeyed, I stopped the whole shepherd group, bring the child to the kitchen, and the child first, come back, everything is okay. Alright, and after that, I was fine. The child needs, because for information, the child forgets. If the child does something wrong, and you spend the child 10 hours later, they're wondering, where is the offense? I don't even know what happened. Okay, unless you tell them very clearly, okay, spend them soon after offense. You need to know, they need to know at the end that you still love them. Okay? It is very important. And I believe that with all my heart, many children get very bitter against their parents. Because at the end of the spanking all that, there was no reconciliation. Let's turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. That's in the Minor Prophets, Hosea chapter 6. There are many children here. So you can voice your objections. No. Hosea chapter 6. Okay, Hosea chapter 6 and verse number 1 and 2. Okay, let's read. Ready? Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For He had torn, and He will heal us. He had smitten, and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day He shall raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Come and let us return. He has torn, and He will heal. Parents, don't just tear the child down. Tear by spanking the child, and then leave the child. You cannot do that. Even though I can tell you, sometimes after spanking, the anger is still there. It's very hard to do that. But you know what the Bible says? He had torn and He will heal. Many children get disciplined. But then after that, they feel a distance from the parents because the parents don't bring them back again. Does that make sense? Our goal is not to discipline our children only. Our goal is to show them, I'm disciplining you because I love you. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 12, whomsoever the Lord loveth, He chasten. You know what's the meaning of chasten in the New Testament? The word chasten is the same word they use when they whip Jesus. In other words, they whip to the point of blood. Okay? I'm not suggesting you do that. It has happened before. Okay? But you know what? At the end of the spanking, this is all the difference between a parent who cares for the child. I'll show you, you good for nothing. And you just whack the child, and the child, after at the end, you know what the children would usually do? They go into a room and sleep, and they cry quietly. And they make decisions inside that room. And then you wonder why 6 years later they don't want to talk to you anymore. Hello? Does that sound familiar for some of our children sometimes? Many children go through that phase. And I think as a wise parent, we need to understand many of the decisions that children make are in the privacy of their own room when they are crying and no one is there. And if they have not shown the love of God, the grace of God, the mercies of God, through our interaction, the child will never understand. And so when they grow up, what they do, they have a rebellious heart against God. They will not want to come back to God unless someone once again show them, Jesus loves you. Okay? Me and my wife had the privilege, the privilege of hearing stories of one particular person who was given away as a young person. And all along this person's life, he just cannot understand. Why am I born into this world? Until one day someone said, Jesus loves you no matter who you are. And that's when with tears in the person's eyes, they trusted Christ. And up to now, the person is still a Christian loving Jesus. Because why? You know what, as parents, we have the opportunity. You know why children are, God made children naturally inclined towards their parents. Parents don't lose their advantage. Someone said, Brother Johnny, you know, I've lost it. You know what, God can still restore that. Okay, any questions there? The practical basis for using the rod. Any questions? Let's see how much I have. Any questions? Yeah. Any questions? Any questions? Questions? Is that helpful? Yeah, hopefully, yeah. We haven't gone to a teenager. Let the screen go to the teenagers. Any questions for the children? So for the chapel teachers, please take note of that. Of course, this one is a prerogative of the parents for spanking, but you know what? Work with the parents as well. Okay, let's move on. Okay, bring out teenagers in the family. Okay, this one's a bit dark. Bring out teenagers. I'll just give you introduction, alright? Okay. I'll just be touching on this too, so give you a little bit of appetite for next week. A teenager, don't go lah. Where are you going? Okay, sorry. Okay. So what is a teenager? Is there a teenager in the Bible? Okay, what are some areas we must consider to bring out teenagers and how do we do it? Okay, we'll do this too next week. But what is a teenager? Any question? This is the definition of a teenager. A teenager is a person between 13 and 19. That's a teenager. That's why they call it teenagers. You are teenager because you are teens. Alright? Okay? Any questions? Alright? Just read this. What is a teenager? A mammal found exclusively throughout the planet, often in groups in front of television sets. Thought to be a member of the Homo sapiens due to physical similarities. Though social and emotional behavior leads many researchers to consider teenagers to be a completely different species altogether. They're very territorial. Teenagers are extraordinarily social animals, seeking contact with their peer groups. To such an extent, they will forgo family chores, food, and responsibility. Okay. There are others
I didn't want to go to because I think, yeah.
So this is a teenager, just as a fun way of looking at teenagers. Okay. But what is a teenager from the Bible? Is there a teenager in the Bible? Are there teenagers in the Bible? What is the Bible definition of teenager? Okay. Is there teenagers? Okay. I'll just read here, and I want to give you some biblical premise of how to think of the group of teenagers in the Bible, okay? In the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 29 to 33, the background of this is the children of Israel has just been called to go into the promised land. Moses told Joshua and 11 others, go in and spy out the land. They've gone in, 10 were bad, and 2 were good, okay? They came back, tell men when to spy, okay? And then 10 were bad and 2 were good, okay? And so, that was in Numbers chapter 13. God says, go in, spy out the land. I've already given you the land. Just go and find out about the land and go in and conquer. So 10 of them came out and say, 2 of them say, yes, let's go in and get the land. 10 of them say, the land is good, but they're giants. Okay, guys, let's not go in. And God was angry. And God said this to them, okay, this was God's judgment. He said, your carcasses, that means after you die, your bodies will fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, complained against me, doubtless you 20 years old and upwards, and I was 20 years old and upwards, you shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, except Caleb and Joshua. These were the two people that went into the promised land. Okay? But in verse 39, but your little ones, which he said should be a prey, they will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, for they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years and bear your whoredoms, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Okay? Now it's interesting, as God judged, God actually said, 20 years old and upwards, you will not enter in the promised land, but your little ones, so which means that all those who are 20 years old and upwards will die. But all those who are 20 years and below are considered what? Children. Okay? So if you're 20 years and below, you are children. So it means you're all in the children's ministry, actually, no teens, sorry. Okay? So based on this, I'll try to qualify that because the word youth was also mentioned in the Bible, okay? I said teenager in the Bible, 20 years and up is considered men because only those 20 and above will go to war. In Numbers chapter 1, verse 45, so were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel. Okay? Those under 20 are called little ones or children. However, in the New Testament, during the temple, those children at years of 13, for example, Samuel and Jesus, remember at the age of 12, he went to Jerusalem. You know why? Because he was preparing. Only children who are 12 years old, they're going to prepare for temple duty. Okay? Children at 13 years old are called out for temple duty, but they are little adults but under supervision. Now, there seems to be a discrepancy. There's another phrase that comes in. The term youth is from, the Bible says in Jeremiah 32 verse 30, for the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. Okay? The Hebrew meaning of youth literally means from a baby to 20 years old. From a baby to 20. God never specifically described. I was trying to search high and low for the ages. And the only place that you probably can find any indication of age is in Numbers chapter 14. When God says 20 years old and up, 20 years old and down. Okay? And also the term youth, if you check in the Hebrew, actually means from. You see, when you have sinned from your youth, God actually says for the time you were born. Why? Because we are all born in sin. In other words, the moment you start growing up, All right, you start being born into the, you start. When you're born into this world, you're already a sinner. So where should training start? When the child is born. Okay? For children of Israel provoked me to anger with the work of their bonds. Okay? So any questions? So is there a teenager in the Bible? The Bible says no. Okay? So but 0 to 20 generally is considered youth. Right? Any age upwards of 20, based on the scriptures we have, will be considered men or adults. Alright? Any questions? Okay. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1. For those teenagers now, the Bible says what? Remember now the Creator in the days of your youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Solomon says, remember God when you are young. When you have all the energy you in this world. Okay? Because when the evil days come, you can tell the adults really have to work hard. They have no strength to do anything after work, that kind of thing. You know, remember God. Okay? I'll give you an introduction to... Next week we'll talk about that. But there was a study conducted in Singapore for the suicide rates in Singapore among teenagers. It was increased. It was a 5-year study, and thankfully suicide is only about 20 teenagers a year. Okay, but you know what? It was increasing, and the two reasons, and parents, please take note of this. The two reasons the psychologists in Singapore actually found out was, number one reason was relationship with parents. Number two is this, become a boyfriend, girlfriend. Remember, this one we would, there will be a seminar on for the teens. I think that's when Sister Jamie, after they are married, they will give you their input. Okay. But by the way, if you break up a boyfriend, girlfriend, and I hope it doesn't happen, you know what's happening? You're practicing divorce. 100 years ago, divorce was 1 in 100. Today, it's 1 in 3. And the statistics is 30% in the Southern Baptist Convention in America among Christians. Okay? That is scary. Okay? I brought it up because this is a study. You can Google it. The study is there. Okay, next week, what are some areas you must consider when bring up teenagers, and how do we do it? Any questions? Any questions? Any questions? You know what? Back to Proverbs 22 verse 6 again. I'll just give you this illustration. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. There was one Jewish marriage counselor who was teaching a Jewish class. A Singaporean class. Okay? That was many, many years ago. He said this. Parents, he's a Christian, but this Jewish counselor is actually a Christian. He said, parents, if you want to bring up your children to serve God, you need to put in double the effort. In other words, if you want them to be on fire for God, you must be a bonfire. Do you know what I mean? In other words, your life must be full of fire for God if you want your children to be on fire for God. Because you know why? Many of the lessons are not taught. The lessons are caught. And if our Christianity at home is just average, there's not going to be much that will be caught. But if our life is on fire for God, and what God says in the Word, and when the Lord is using the church to move forward, and we say, Lord, follow. Oh, Lord, we will follow. You know, it's not just the church, not just... You know what? Even Sunday school teachers, when you're on fire for God, your children can see. There was one illustration whereby there was one lady who was a Sunday school teacher. And a lot of the children actually love him. Some of you may have heard this before. A lot of children actually love this Sunday school teacher a lot. But this Sunday school teacher wasn't exactly a warm personality. It's just what every time the child has problems, the child will go to her and all that. And every time parents will be gravitated towards her, and they just kind of loved, but this lady is just an ordinary lady. And then there was one time this preacher who was preaching shared that she found out why the woman, that this lady in Sunday school teacher, was so well loved. Because one day this preacher went to the church early for a meeting. It was about 6:30 in the morning, you know, in America. And he was saying, as he went there, the door was open. So he went in and saw some lights. And then as he went in, she heard talking. And then as he went into the room, he saw this lady going from chair to chair of the Sunday school children and crying and praying for everyone. And he would say, Lord, you know the devil is trying to get this this so-and-so, Lord, please touch his heart. Let him move on to the next chair. And he prayed. She prayed for every single one. Now, parents, we need to pray for our children every day, amen? By name. And what they need. And maybe sometimes, parents, it's time for us to stop saying anything but start praying by name. And show the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts so that our children can see. And one thing I'm very conscious of, what you do and what I do will not bring our child for God, only what God does. And our total dependency must be on Him. We do all the right things, but only God can come in to change their hearts. Okay, any questions? Well, this is about a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for... People are very quiet and sure things are you're listening. But Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. Father, I pray that you will teach us in Ambassador Baptist Church to be parents that love you. That we might be able to show our children, Lord, how much we love them. Father, I pray for those people who are not here today. I pray they will somehow catch this. I thank you for parents who made a point to come. Lord, we ask that in our hearts you will help us not only to do the right thing, but to depend on you totally. We thank you for many of our children who are in church, Lord. But God, there's nothing we can do to ensure they will be in the next 5 to 10 years. Only the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives and the love that you're allowing us to show them. Lord, help us to bring our children in the fear of God according to your word. Help us to follow your principles, Lord, rather than what we need to do. Help us to immerse ourselves in prayer and living the Christian life in a way that will be honoring to you. For child training really is parent training. The Father, when we are trained to live for you, our children will just catch it. And I ask for your grace for every parent and every dad and mom who is here, I ask that their lives will be filled with the power of God in their lives, that it might not only show what a parent should be, but what Jesus will be, should be in their lives. Father, I just commend Ambassador Baptist Church, not only our parents, but also, Lord, young adults, chapel teachers, Sunday school teachers, and everyone involved. I pray for every child, Lord, who will grow up in this environment. May they experience the love of Christ in Ambassador Baptist Church. May they find holiness, Lord, in every action, every word. May as a child come in to Sunday school, they will find the love of Jesus in the hearts of the Sunday school teachers. That when they leave, Lord, they will be so overwhelmed by it that their lives will change, that their parents will see a change. And the Father, that every parent will be helping one another to bring up children in the fear of God. That God will do nothing, Lord, to offend or stumble someone else. Lord, for this I pray that you will give us the love of Christ in these last days before we see you. Father, may every child that come into Ambassador Baptist Church leave a saved child. I don't know how we can do it, but I know only you can do it, Lord. But help us to be used by you. And may all of us, Father, be genuinely concerned for these little ones, because you say in your word, suffer the little ones to come unto me, for such belongeth the kingdom of God. And I pray for you, bless everyone who is not here. I'm sure they have their reasons, but God, you see their hearts. I pray that your Holy Spirit will lead them to hear this, that they might grow as well. Now thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.